Blog Talk Radio.
Hotep. Shalom. 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 The free to land and black laws for all black people. Again, it is my honor to be here and to speak to you on such a timely topic. During this period, when the birth of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is observed by many and celebrated by many. The subject that you have given me, Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, Human Rights and Civil Rights, the Challenge of the 21st Century, is quite a challenging subject. Of all our studies, of course, history is best qualified and most attractive to reward our research. If we know what happened yesterday, we intelligently discuss today because today is built on yesterday, and tomorrow is built on today. And we should be intelligent enough that if we know what happened yesterday, that we are not likely to let the same thing go down again today. Our unity in sisterhood, brotherhood, and struggle is profound, principled, and forever. We choose the revolution of our people and the liberation of our people as our life's goal, and struggle as the method to achieve it. Our struggle is constantly and continuously against the oppressor and against all in us, which is contradiction to our values and the choice we've made. We choose the liberation of our people, and our choice is conscious, full, and we accept all risks and welcome all rewards it might bring. We have nothing better, and more revolutionary and rewarding to do with our lives than to struggle. Struggle to bring into being a new world, a world in which we, our children, and our families can breathe and create and stand and walk in a warmer sun. This is the Kawaida Kiapo. And I want to begin with a note from Langston Hughes, since at this time of the year, there's so much talk about the dream and the dreamer. Langston Hughes gives us this as it was made popular through Lorraine Hansberry in A Raisin in the Sun. And it begins, what happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun, or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat, or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load, or does it explode? Brothers and sisters, in a laboratory, no experiment is a failure. Even if the results of that experiment only prove that it can't be done that way, that experiment is not a failure. The experiment of the life and legacy of the man that we know to be Martin Luther King Jr., the experiment of that life was not a failure. It was not a failure. It serves us well today, because even if it does nothing else, it tells us that it can't work that way. And when you find out in an experiment that it can't work that way, then the result advances your study, advances your research, and it should put you on firm footing toward real resolution and the best results that you might hope for. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he had 30 years ago, and as he walked in Selma, Alabama, and worked in Selma, Alabama, and Birmingham, Alabama, and Montgomery, Alabama, and Chicago, and throughout the hells of North America, as the chairman or as the leader of Southern Christian Leadership Conference, as Dr. King worked 30 years ago for us, it is written in the scriptures, what greater love could a man have or a woman than to lay down their life for their brother, for their sister, for their friend? Dr. King laid down his life for us. And if for no other reason, we must honor him for laying down his life for us, but we must analyze life. And we, as the most honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, that it is after one has made the transition, after they have made the transition to what some call death, but what others call to the realm of the ancestors of the Egungun, then a period can be placed behind the testament of that life. And then we can carefully and critically make an analysis of that life. Dr. King laid down his life for us, and Dr. King believed in the moral conscience of the white man. And since we are talking about civil rights and human rights here tonight, I think it's fitting that we begin right there. He believed in the moral conscience of the white man. I'm here tonight at D&J to tell you that the white man ain't got no morals and he ain't got no conscience. Dr. King believed in civil rights. Well, I'm here to tell you that the white man ain't too civil and he ain't too right. Malcolm believed in human rights. I'm here to tell you that the white man ain't too human and he ain't too right. It makes no difference whether it's civil rights or human rights. You must weigh the circumstances surrounding the very origin of the white man into the world to then determine if he's capable of being civil, if he's capable of being human. This we must put on the scale of Mayotte and give it the meiotic weigh in and see if it strikes the meiotic balance. And if it does not strike the meiotic balance, then we must make sure that we are not victims of history, because it is written that he or she who does not learn the lessons of history is doomed to repeat them. 30 years ago, the prestigious, pristine presidential White House commission set up by Lyndon Baines Johnson, a redneck camel breath hunky from Texas, an outlaw from Texas, a gun-slinging outlaw from Texas. Lyndon Baines Johnson set up the Kerner Commission, and the Kerner Commission determined that America 30 years ago was two Americas, one black and one white, separate and unequal, and that the number one problem in America 30 years ago was white racism. 30 years later, after Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the Kerner Commission has reconvened and determined America is still two Americas, one black and one white, separate still, unequal still, and that the number one problem in America today is still white racism. 30 years after Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., they questioned Jet Magazine staff and journalists, questioned the widow of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. They questioned Sister Coretta Scott King. They questioned his daughter. They questioned his son. They questioned the Reverend Wyatt T. Walker. They questioned former City Councilman Hosea Williams, who was one of his right-hand men. They questioned Andy Young, former mayor. of Atlanta, Georgia, and former ambassador to the United Nations. They questioned them, and they questioned others, and they put the question to them about success or failure. They put the question to them, have we really made progress 30 years after Dr. King? They wanted them to analyze the dream of Dr. King, and they all said that they could see some change here and there, but they all said, they all agreed that America had a long, long way to go. Some of them were even specific. 30 years after Dr. King, if we're going to deal with civil rights and human rights and we're going to weigh it properly, we must understand that affirmative action, which was important to Dr. King, but never has been important to me, because the action has never been affirmative. We don't need affirmative action. We need reparations and freedom and independence, liberation and salvation. But affirmative action was important to Dr. King. 30 years after Dr. King, affirmative action does not even remain a dream anymore. It's a nightmare now. A recalcitrant cold wind blowing through Congress, blowing through the Senate, blowing through the White House, whispering throughout the hells of North America, has now swept affirmative action almost but from the scene today. 30 years after the dream of the dreamer, Section 8 entitlements, quota systems that were supposed to level the playing field after people had been robbed of their names, their language, their religion, their culture, their God, their folkways, their mores, their norms, robbed of the very power of our own being, all is being erased today. Such measures that were supposed to be set up to level the playing field. Now you've got devils, you've got so-called Jews, imposter Jews coming up with theories and theorems on a bell curve. Other quackers saying that we are genetically inferior. Other quackers saying that we are stuck at the bottom. Other quackers saying that we are black jelly beans stuck at the bottom of the bag or the jar. Look at it. You break both of my legs, and then you call a race. Break both of my legs and you stand, somebody working with you, stands at the starter's line, fires the starter's pistol, and you're the only one running. You break the tape, and then you turn around and criticize me because I haven't made it to the finish line yet. I'm dragging alone because you've broken both of my damn legs. How could you expect me to finish? The white man breaks our legs and then has a race and then says, well, you really are intellectually inferior to me. You robbed me of my name, my language, my religion, my culture, my God, my folkways, my mores, my norms, and then you turn around and give me a goddamn test? How could you expect me to score like you? 30 years after Dr. King, a Negro sits on the Supreme Court bench named Clarence Thomas, standing always against his people and always for the enemy who put him there, married to a big dinosaur-looking white woman. Looks like he go home to Jurassic Park every time he go home. Nigga have to get on a step ladder just to get some sugar from that big tall white man. But I don't know why we do that. Don't know why we do that. Go and get the biggest, ugliest white woman we can find. Clarence Thomas had to hug her on one side and the beast is so big and then run around and hug her on the other side. 30 years after Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., there's a rise in the Ku Klux Klan. 30 years after Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the dream of the dreamer and his civil rights. 30 years after Minister Malcolm X, El Hajj Malik, El Hajj's brother Omar Wale, and his dream of human rights. 30 years thereafter, the white man still considers us three-fifths of a human being. At the Million Man March, we had well over 1 million to 1.5 million, maybe even 2 million, convened by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. The first foolishness was talking about separating the messenger from the message, which came out by Message Jesse. He popularized this madness about separating the messenger from the message. Close to 1.5 million, 2 million. And the crackers say he saw 400,000. Why? Ooh. It's because the cracker was still counting us as three-fifths of a human being. He got mixed up on them fractions. Got them fractions mixed up. 30 years after Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., 30 years after Martin Luther King Jr., a rise in the Ku Klux Klan, a rise in Aryan Brotherhood, a rise in the American Nazi Party, a rise in the skinhead, a rise in militia groups, a rise in right-wing paramilitary hate organizations and hate groups and night riders and day riders as existed during Reconstruction. 30 years after Martin Luther King Jr., the Supreme Court has handed down a ruling in various states across the country. 30 years after Minister Malcolm X, Brother Mawali, El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, one believing in civil rights, one believing in human rights. 30 years after both of them, Malcolm said we must vote in a solid block, that we must vote in a black solid block. 30 years after Malcolm, the Supreme Court has handed down a decision ruling it unconstitutional for you to have what they call majority-minority voting blocks. And so gerrymandering and re-maneuvering. And so now they're taking small black districts, brown districts, and dumping them over into bigger white districts to bust up your black voting block, which lets you know that you can register to vote all the hell you want to, but voting will never get your behind out of this condition. You running around registering to vote. Some of you, you don't have to clap for me. You say, he's stepping on some toes now. And I know they got that camera running, and I don't want the camera to catch me applauding because I'm really with these folks and I'm with those folks. Nigga, you should be with the truth. Stand up for the truth. Stop dilly-dallying. Stop pussyfooting. Stop beating around the bush. Tiptoeing through the tulips. Speak the truth regardless of circumstance and stand up on the truth from the greatest cradle to the grave. That's your divine responsibility and duty to our people here, generations yet unborn, and to our ancestors who have gone on. That's your duty, and that's your responsibility. And so the voting blocks being busted up today. Unconstitutional to have a so-called majority-minority voting district. 30 years after Dr. King, the white man is killing us, it appears, like never before. You talk about slavery. You talk about the plantation. You talk about lynching. But when he kills a Yusuf Hawkins, when he kills a Philip Pinell, when he kills an Anthony Baez, when he kills a Brother Aswad, when he kills a Jerry Lee Amy and a Yusuf Love, when he pulls the trigger and kills Johnny Gamage or chokes a Johnny Gamage, or when he kills a Tyrone Lewis in St. Petersburg or Pittsburgh, or wherever we are, it's 3 over here, it's 5 over there, it's 10 here, it's 20 there, it's 50 over there. He's lynching us today with a modern kind of lynching, and he's killing us today faster than he killed us on the plantation. You can't hang as many niggas from a tree and put a noose around their neck as you can pulling the trigger with an automatic and a semi-automatic weapon, but you miss 30 years after King and 30 years after Malcolm, making a careful, critical, and correct analysis of what's going on. Because some of you still want to hold on. Maybe nobody in here. Maybe that's the ones who didn't come. In fact, let's establish some rules now. If I say anything that you don't like, just say, he ain't talking about me. Somebody else. All right? Some of us are crazier today than we were when Malcolm was here, than we were when Martin was here. Some of you, your tikis and your sandals and your boo-boos and your dashikis and your red and your black and your green and your mud cloth and your kente cloth and Christmas, you had a damn Christmas tree in your house. You got your afro, you got your dreadlocks, you got your African braids, you got all of that. You got you crowned and gowned to the ground. But you got a tree that the Peckerwood sold you in your house with some kente ribbon on it, with a Santa Claus with red, black, and green on. You got a red and green stocking over the fireplace. You have taken this madness and dressed it up and tried to give it an African flavor. Some of you today, 30 years after Malcolm, 30 years after Martin, 30 years after the call for civil rights and human rights, some of you are still quoting the white man's Constitution and his Declaration of Independence and his Bill of Rights. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their creator by certain unalienable rights, that to these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let's look at that. Would you hold this for me, son? This is my son, Farrakhan. Give him a strong clap. This book is what color? Sorry, you were talking about what color is it? This is just plain toilet paper, unused. Plain toilet paper, just wet. This is big, it's heavy, and it's black. This is it's small, it's light, and it's white. I'm here to tell you tonight from the most honorable Elijah Muhammad that all men, all women are not created equal, but are created equally. So teaches the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan from the teaching of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. There is nothing equal in the universe. One of your eyes is higher than the other one, or lower than the other. One is bigger than the other. One leg is shorter than the other. Long as some of us walk like it. Some of us are one. We know that one of our arms is longer than the other arm. There is nothing equal in the universe, but everything in nature has been created. Everything in nature has been created equally, but not equally. Let's look at it again. Black, big, and heavy. Huh? Small, light, and white. But when I drop it into a law, look carefully now, look down, don't look up. And if ain't no magic, if ain't no abracadabra, this is not no hocus pocus, no seductive shabam. Watch. They don't hit the floor at the same time. Let's look at it another way. This is what?
White.
Talk back to me. Talk back to me. This is what color?
White.
This is what?
White.
All right. Let's look at it. We hold the two of them up. They're not equal. Are they?
No.
One is big. One is small. One is white. One is black.
Come on.
Huh? One is heavy. One is light. They're not equal, but they have been created equally. you brought them into God's law. We do that at first with black being bigger and heavier and white being smaller and lighter. Now we do it the opposite way. And when we drop them, they both fall into a law and they both hit the floor, what? At the same time. Let's look at it even further. Freedom is a law of nature. Freedom is a law of nature, and justice is deeply rooted in the universal order of things. And it is the divine intent of the almighty, all-wise God and creator that everything lives equally under his creation. Let's look at it. The ant and the anteater, the chicken and the chicken hawk. It makes no difference what it is in nature. All have been created equally, but not equal. Everything must have food, you with me? Water, air, and the proper environmental and atmospheric condition. The ant must have food. The ant must have water. The ant must have air. The ant must have the proper atmospheric and environmental conditions to continue to live. But on the other hand, the ant eater must have food. It just turns out that the ant is the food of the ant eater. The ant eater must have food, must have water, must have air, must have the proper environmental and atmospheric conditions. Let's look at the chicken and the chicken hawk. Both of them must have food. Both must have air. Both must have in the proper atmospheric and environmental conditions. It just so happens the chicken is the food of the chicken hawk. Nature is set up with predators and prey. And we have been the prey of the white man for the past 4,000 to 6,000 years of his sojourn here on our planet. The brown man and woman, the red man and woman, the yellow man and woman, all have been the prey of the white man. The white man is our natural enemy. No, nobody teaches that too much anymore. We've gotten sophisticated now. We talk all up in the clouds now. We talk all kinds of proper talk and talk that borderlines, they might be trying to get away, but we also look like we're trying to stay. All at the same time. We're dreaming of a brighter day in America. We got to search for tomorrow in America. I cannot change, and I will not change, and God damn it, don't ask me to change, because I'm not going to. The white man is not a devil, but the white man is the devil. And if the white man is not the devil, he's going to have to do until the real devil gets it. Civil rights and human rights, the challenge of the 21st century. Look at it. If you're going to look at Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, you got to look at them in phases. You got Old Testament Malcolm and New Testament Malcolm. You got Old Testament Martin and New Testament Martin. Old Testament Martin had a soft line. Old Testament Martin had a soft line. New Testament Martin moved toward a harder line. Criticized America. Challenged America. Called America. Stepped out of the realm of Negro affairs. Stepped out of the box into the international arena. And started comparing the war in Vietnam with what black people were facing right here in the hells of North America. On the Ho Chi Minh Trail, or the Edmund Pettus Bridge, started making a comparison. So that's Old Testament Martin and New Testament Martin, from a softer line to a harder line. And I don't mind being unpopular if I stand on truth. I must say that there's again an Old Testament Malcolm and a New Testament Malcolm. Old Testament Malcolm leaned toward a harder line. New Testament Malcolm moved toward a softer line. Give a damn whether you applaud. Don't give a damn whether you nod your head. Don't give a damn whether you smile. I know they're not going to give you your money back, so you might as well just sit back and relax and deal with it. Let's look at it. Old Testament Malcolm said, a revolution is bloody. A revolution knows no compromise. A revolution uproots and overturns everything that gets in its path. Old Testament Malcolm said, if you knew what a revolution was, well, you wouldn't even use that word in your vocabulary. Old Testament Malcolm said, if you knew what a revolution was, well, you'd get back in the alley. That's Old Testament Malcolm. Old Testament Malcolm said all white folks are the devil. He said none of them are any good. He said if you find one that you think is good, kill him first before he turns bad. That's Old Testament Malcolm. Because just as sure as the sun shines, the guys go turn back. I'm telling you, buddy, he's going to turn back. No, make no mistake about it. The guy can't help it. Gee whiz. Golly gee. If you think anything else, it's far out, buddy. It's far out. Jiminy. Old Testament Malcolm used not only spiritual and political and cultural terminology, he used revolutionary terminology as well. What does this say? Okay. Don't worry. Everybody look and say, what does it say? Did it say, leave Malcolm alone? Did it say stop criticizing Martin? You really want to know what it said? You don't want to know what it said. You don't want to know what it said, do you? How many want to know what it said? No lie, you want to know what it said. I really want to know. Let me see your hand. How many don't want to know what it said? Raise your lying hand. It just says, can you take a 15-minute break? At some point, take a 15-minute break. And we're going to do that, and then we'll reconvene. All right? Is that all right with everybody? He said, I didn't really say that. Everybody all right? We were talking about Old Testament Malcolm and New Testament Malcolm, Old Testament Martin and New Testament Martin. Martin from a softer line to a hard line. Malcolm from a hard line to a softer line. Not a soft line, but a softer line. New Testament Malcolm. Crazy. Whatever he saw when he went back the second time, now believe me, he saw it the first time. Alright? Okay? Alright? Yeah, I gotta drop some Ebonics up off in here. Alright. I drop a little Ebonics, y'all supposed to know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to know. He went to Mecca. Take nothing away from them. These are lives that were not allowed to be private lives. These were lives that were lived before our eyes. You see, you can make your changes, and a lot of times people don't see your changes. Huh? You get in the shower and change. You sitting on the throne in the toilet and change. You come out a new person. Everything came out all right. Some of you, you go to one Juma prayer. You're changed. You go to one Juma prayer, and you come back, brother and your wife don't know you. You're Khalid Abdul Rahman Suleiman Kareem the Magnificent the Third. Abdullah. You got an Arabic accent and one Juma prayer. You come back in the door, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And she said, all right, baby. And she Assalamu alaikum, I love you, baby. And she said, well, what's the matter, baby? No, I'm not baby anymore. I'm Khalid Rasul Kareem Rahman. You go. He said, nigga, I know you. You're Willie Bobo. You go and take 30 minutes of karate. Try to slant your damn eyes in the mirror. Want to eat chop suey and egg bouillon all the time. Which is wild. Robbed so thoroughly of a knowledge of self until everybody's culture makes an impression on us. The best way to defeat the oppressor's culture, alien culture, is to live your own. It's to live your own. That's the best way to defeat it. New Testament Malcolm went back to Saudi Arabia after he had been the first time. And he went in and he came, he wrote postcards back. He sent letters back saying, here I am in Mecca. It's a sight to behold. Here I am, he said, sleeping on the same mat, eating from the same bowl, drinking from the same cup with men whose skin is the whitest of white, whose hair is the blondest of blonde, whose eyes are the bluest of blue. This proves that it can work, that integration can work. He was interviewed. He said, I was in Mecca, he said, and I was with men whose skin would be considered white in Mecca. He said, but they had Islam. And he said, Islam made them different. Islam didn't allow them to act like racists. And that's what the white man in America needs, Malcolm said. He needs Islam. Well, wait, let me tell you something. I've been to Mecca 8 times. Okay? I came back each time. Believing that the white man was more the devil after I got back than before I went over there. There are Muslims who don't want you to talk about this. We got to deal with the truth. Astaghfirullah. There is no division in Islam. There is no invidious class distinction in Islam. I'll be damned. I was in Mecca at the Mithar of the airport. The biggest delegation to come to Mecca is represented by the blue, black, purple, black Nigerians and Senegalese from West Africa. West Africa sends the biggest delegation. Some of our brothers and sisters so beautiful, so black, look like they were spit. They were spit ink. Black. Spit black ink. I saw some of them, their greatest dream, even though they might be 70 or 80, some in their 90s, is to just make it to the holy city of Mecca one time in their life before they pass on. Some of them want to die in Mecca. That's their dream their whole life through. I saw elder sisters looking like they were 80 years, 90 years old in the airport. I saw racist white Arabs with their gutra and their mithob and all of that they wear. I saw them run in through the airport and grab elder Nigerian sisters and Senegalese sisters and grab them and snatch them and just throw them across the airport. And I'd run to their white behinds and grab them and throw them against the damn wall. And couldn't speak Arabic, but I was telling them, that's my great-grandmother that you just, whether I ever met her before, that's my great-grandmother. Up in Africa, generations down the line. I saw ghettos in Mecca. Tell me nothing about Mecca. I saw them come out with bread in their robes, in their thobes, and black people be there stuck or stranded there because they just wanted to be somewhere close to what they call the sacred precinct. And I see them arrogantly walk out and throw bread up in the sky and let it hit the ground and our people eat off the ground. In an oil-rich Saudi Arabia, pumping billions of barrels and billions of dollars. Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia. Saudi from a root etymologically, it's a similar root to Aswad, which means black. Arabia. If you're confused on that, read Chancellor Williams. Dr. Chancellor Williams says that all of that area, from black to brown to white. From black, brown to white. That they drove us from the centers of power. And they set up in Saudi Arabia, as they call it today. They set up in what is called Israel today. They set up in Syria. They set up in Jordan. They set up in Morocco and Algeria, if I didn't say it. They set up in Egypt. They set up in Libya. They set up in all of those areas and drove us from the centers of power. And those areas changed from black to brown to white. We want to talk about that. You say, well, what about slavery? Let's talk about slavery and Islam.
All right. We're going to stop right there for right now. We wanted to give you the opportunity to once again hear our Black Power General, Khaled Abdul-Muhammad. It is so interesting, family, what you just heard, because that was presented in 1997. Isn't it so ironic that he talked about presenting that speech or that lecture because it was the Martin Luther King day or time? Isn't it just so interesting that everything he said 26 years ago is so relevant and applicable today? Before we move on, again, greetings to everyone and welcome to this segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. This is our annual salute tribute to Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad, whose Earth Day was, in fact, yesterday, January the 12th. The past few days have been a powerful kind of whirlwind for those who are in tune, in touch with some elements and things that are a little more advanced in one way, but more natural to us always. And so with Doc's transition being remembered, I'm sorry, Earth Day being remembered yesterday, we also, unfortunately, had to hear and know that another great black man made transition yesterday, the same day, in recognizing Dr. Khaled's Earth Day. And that, of course, is now ancestor Baba Sekou Odinga. It just kind of really created a dynamic, at least for me and a few other folks that I spoke with, to connect those black dots. But at any rate, we're going to talk more tonight about Dr. Khalid. In fact, I do see Sister Crystal Muhammad in queue. It is so wonderful to have her with us tonight, given the fact that she is the chairwoman for the new Black Panther Party. And I dare say, for me, I know that pulled this together, meaning me connecting with Sister Crystal at the time and Brother Akbar, also new Black Panther Party, because we haven't been connected over the years in the way that I believe we should have been. And again, it's very interesting that we're coming full circle, because with MWM completing its 25-year cycle, that's the number 7 in another realm of things for some of us. And for those that do not know, Dr. Khalid really made me a promise. When he came to Philadelphia in, I don't remember if it was February, but a few months prior to the Million Youth March, he had a session here in a press conference. And at that session, he provided a public apology to me because he did not support the Million Woman March in the way that he felt he should have. And so he wanted me to know, and he wanted others to know, that that was not right. That whether he knew me personally at that time of the Million Woman March or not, or whatever he had heard, which, you know, a lot of folks put out a lot of misinformation, character assassination, and so forth. His position was he should have still done what he should have done. And so he gave me a public apology for that. It is recorded, and there are a few people who were there when he said it. And as a result, I was asked also to become a national co-chair for the Million Youth March, which I did do. The point is, over the years, again, there has not been the connection with the new Black Panther Party until now, in the way that we had anticipated. And at some point, we're going to go more in depth as to why some of that is, but the fact and the point is now we are. It is indeed a pleasure and an honor to be connected with the new Black Panther Party under the leadership, the guidance of Sister Crystal Muhammad and Brother Akbar, because I feel where they're going, I feel where they want to go, I feel what they are representing. And while we may differ in different approaches or other methodologies or whatever, we are solid when it comes to the justice and liberation of our people. And so with that said, you're going to see other connections now, because again, some of us have come full circle. Some of us have grown. But what we realize is we must now connect. The unity that people have talked about over the years, it has really been a joke. Really. And I've seen this up close and personal. And it's been very painful to hear things come out of people's mouths when I know, in fact, they were not about that at all. And yeah, I can bear witness to it and also bring the receipts. But that's a conversation for another time. Tonight is about Dr. Khalid. And where do we go from here? Clearly, he already gave the direction. He already gave the insight. He already gave the information. And he gave his life, which at some point we need to talk more about that too, at any rate. After we talk with Sister Crystal Muhammad and just get, you know, some of the insight of her experiences with Dr. Khalid, we're going to also ask you, family, where do we go from here? Doc has been away from us physically for 2 decades. And when we look at what we see now in our midst, particularly in this regard, brothers, black men, who's representing in the way that he did? Where they at? Where are our brothers? Why are we allowing so much of this rainbow and all these other agendas? And don't get me wrong, people do whatever the heck they want to do. That's their business. But when it comes to liberation and our movements, why are we allowing it to be meshed in with other peoples and other things? And so we need to now begin to address that as Doc would want us to do. And so that's what we're going to do tonight and in the future. As we prepare now for the National Black Women's Power and Political Convention, you're going to hear some things that is going to be a little shocking for some, particularly with the development of a Black Women's Army, because what I learned is I better protect myself because I can't depend on other people to do that. And not only that, I already know because I just came out of the situation with people coming in to sabotage, I know now I need to make sure that if anyone else in the future plans to do that, they need to know that is not going to be a good move. Anyway, moving right along. Let's bring in Sister Crystal Muhammad, chairwoman, New Black Panther Party. And we are going to talk about Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad, you know, who he is, his vision, and again, where do we go here. And note, good, bad, or indifferent, again, we have to now be mature enough to deal with the facts, the realities, not so much the personalities. Let's deal with the work that has been done, and that is being done, and that now needs to be done for the future. And make certain that the new Negro pen, the new, and by the way, I got a special one for y'all called the New Philadelphia Negro, which is, you know, in the Negro PN line. Oh, wait till y'all hear what I done did with that one in the research. Anyway, moving right along, let's bring in Sister Crystal Muhammad. Let's not only talk about Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad, but let's look at what it is we really must begin to do to bring the energy synergy forward. Sister Crystal, are you there? Uh-oh. Ooh, this would be interesting if I can't get her in. Wow. Let's try this again. Hold on a minute. Wow. Something's going on, family, so bear with me. I am trying to bring Sister Crystal in. And for some reason, we're having some problems. Okay. Sister Crystal, if you can hear me, this is what we're going to try to do, because we're not going to let these people stop us, because I have your mic open, but I am not hearing you. So let's do this. I want you to hang up if you can hear me, because I'm going to call you from the boards, okay? So, Sister Crystal, if you can hear me, hang up. I'm going to call you from Rich. That's really kind of interesting, but let's try and see what happens. And if not, family, you know what? I will three-way her. Okay. It is not going through. Very interesting. So now we know without a shadow of a doubt that we are being blocked, that we are being played with, that we are being toyed with. Okay, hold on a moment. For some reason, I am not able to get through to Sister Crystal, and so we're going to try something else. Okay, we're going to try again to see if I can get her this way, and if I will attempt to get her by way of a three-way. Okay, nope, it is not going through. All right, hold on a moment. Let's see what we got here. Greetings, caller at 9324. Can you hear me?
Hotep, New World.
All right, Brother New World. I was just checking to see. So they blocked me
okay.
from Sister Crystal.
You're being sabotaged.
Okay. So I can hear you. Okay, I see Sister Crystal trying again. Stay right there, Brother New World. I'm going to try to bring her in. If I can't get her in on these boys, I'm just going three-way us on my phone. Okay, because they're not going to stop
That's
us
right.
tonight. Okay, so stay right there, Brother New World.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
We're being sabotaged. Know this.
We're going to try one more time, family. Try to bring Sister Crystal in. And I think we got you this time now.
Black power.
Yes. All right. Look, I was saying that if we couldn't get you this way, I was going to get you some kind of way. So.
No problem. We already know the kind of silly and childish games the enemy plays. And it's really, you know, it's childish, it's silly. And at the same time, these are tactics of war because, you know, one of the first things that they try to attack is our means of communication.
Yeah.
But as African people, we will beat that drum. We will send a smoke signal. We will do whatever it takes to get the message across.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Once again, I would like to thank you, beautiful Empress T, and your host and your audience for allowing me to be a special guest on your program. Thank you. And especially on such a very important and powerful topic and subject as it relates to the Honorable Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. May he rest in peace and may his mortal soul continue until perpetuity, because the energy that he brought forth when he was alive continues today. It is a motivation. It is an inspiration. It is, in fact, a energy force that we are able to pull on at this very moment, even hearing his voice. You know, I speak to a lot of, ma'am.
No, I was just laughing. I was like, you when you said hearing his voice, yeah, that hearing his voice. Well, go ahead, sis.
Yes, just hearing his voice, it uplifts people. You know, sometimes I remember a ways back, you know, a few times with my son or my brother or my cousins or anybody walking in the room and they hear me playing Dr. Khalid, they immediately stop and say, "Who was that?" And they stop in their tracks. Anybody that hears his voice, if they hadn't heard it before, they would stop and say, "Who is that?" And they would stop in their tracks because he speaks truth. He represents not only being a man, but a man of God, a black man, an upright masculine man, a spiritual man, an intelligent man, a warrior, a freedom fighter, not a cotton-picking slave, not no cow towing, bending over, rump rangers, all these weirdos that are doing all these kind of emasculated and not representative of our true black gods that our men truly are. We are under constant attack of war. We are at war. We have never been out of war. We are still in captivity by the people who enslaved us. We have never come out of captivity. We are just functioning on this and walking around on this plantation nation. We are still being governed and subjected by the same people who enslaved our ancestors. Slavery never ended in this country. It never ended. It metamorphed. There was technology, and they went from voluntary, involuntary servitude to now folks are voluntary in servitude. You volunteer to go pick the cotton. Man, your mission.
That's right.
That is the actual term in the black codes where someone would petition to go back on the plantation. I remember when I first saw that, I was like, now, why would somebody petition the slave owner to go back and be a slave? Well, because the black codes made it illegal. First of all, what so-called abolished slavery was the 13th Amendment, which is a trick, a sleight of hand, which stated that you cannot be a slave or an indentured servant unless you committed a crime.
That's right.
A crime. And immediately, the black codes went into effect, which made everything from breathing to sneezing a crime when it came to black people. You couldn't get a job without it being a crime. Punishable by death if someone was to give you a job. You couldn't own land. You couldn't congregate in public. Couldn't get married. All the things that make not only a person a free person, but a human, but a living species, a living inalienable right by a specimen, a creature, a being created by the Most High, was made illegal, punishable by death, and is still in effect. This country, this wicked plantation nation, a penal colony, which was already inhabited by our ancestors. All the lies that we have been taught in the food system. We have been sent to food systems, indoctrinated into white so-called supremacy and so-called black inferiority, indoctrinated 12 hours a day, 5 days a week, for a minimum of 12 years, 13 years, you got to include kindergarten, 13 years, 13th Amendment. We send our children into food systems that teach so-called white supremacy in every subject matter. And you wonder why we messed up. Because you turned your children and our minds over to our open enemy who enslaved us. These are acts of war. You talk about, people talking about what's going on in the ICJ. This happens to us every day. They bombed them literally, destroyed them literally. And it happens to us daily. They bomb in our minds with false imagery. We have been taught to, okay, go ahead, get along, and assimilate and integrate with the people who think of us as monsters, inhumane, not human, two-thirds, three-fifths of a human being. They've never changed their mind. They've never changed their status. They've never changed how they look at us. I'm talking about the goddamn devil, the white man, and everybody who follows his ways, pitch black, melanated. But if they have the mind of the cracker, the mind of these devils, they're going to do the same dirty work and many times worse. Because they believe and they don't want to have anything to do with no blackness. These same devils who said, this is God, huh, who, ha, a white Jesus. And they got this old scary music they play. Ooh, ha, the stuff that they play. This is why we have so few Dr. Khaled type energies of being raised up. Because we're turning our children over to the enemy. The same people who had buck-breaking farms, buck-breaking plantations, where they would sodomize baby male boys. This has not changed. You want to integrate. Then you go over there, you're sending your children, you want to move away from the black community into the white community, and your boy, your son's over there playing with Bobby, and Bobby's dad is tickling your son. You let him sleep over. They're putting wine in their drinks. They're sodomizing and pedophiling the kids. Oh, it's just culture. oh, it's just a phase. No, it is ethnic cleansing and genocide. How else can you murder a person without dropping a bomb? You stop them from reproducing. Mm. Two men can't reproduce. Two women can't reproduce. Oh, I don't want to live in the black neighborhood. I'm going to move over here, take my kids away from the blacks. And you going over there by Becky and Karen. And you go and Becky and Karen, you looking at your daughter with her beautiful black skin and beautiful black hair, 9 ether. It goes up. The only thing that defies gravity, our crown. But our people want to look like Becky with the fur that falls down the same way, 6 ether, as any other animal. The only thing on planet Earth that defies gravity is black hair. Think about that. This is our crown. Mm-hmm. It don't matter what you do. You got to do something harsh to it to make it fall. Everything else, you pick up a piece of paper, it drops to the ground. But our crown, our halo, is our hair. These other people don't have hair. This is not racist. This is real. This is anatomy. This is science. We may lock our hair, and that's the only way it's going to go down. But in this natural state, I mean, this is how beautiful we are made, and we destroy it. We put chemicals on it. We get a hot comb and press it out. We put some juice on it, some Worlds of Curl, some gelatin. I mean, pig fat. All of these, you know, but, you know, we have to, I don't want to talk down on black people, but I want us to wake up, man. To wake up and understand why this is happening to us. And then we got, yes, ma'am, sorry about that.
I just want to go back for one moment because it just so happened when we do our National Black Women Power and Political Convention, it's going to be a couple of forums, and it's going to be on two things. One, our natural beauty, black beauty, but also we're going to hold a forum that will specifically focus on what is now being learned about the use of chemical hair relaxers and cancer. And we're going to have sisters to talk about some of their experiences now that they know and can relate to what has happened to them. You see, we need to make sure that the next generation is forewarned and are clear about how they must stay away from this thing. That's where your brain is at, you know. And so now black women is going to make sure that message is given to particularly our younger women, our older ones too. But for those who want to look like Little Kim or what's the new one? Nicki Minaj.
Megan Thee Stallion.
And all that. You know, and here's the other thing. And lastly, here's the other part. So not only is it the straightness, but, you know, some of the weaves are using the glue. We've now had the research on the type of glue that's being used to put in the hair and the eyelashes, and how that's affecting the biological structure of things. And then lastly, these colors that you now are seeing, that too goes into the follicles and in the brain cells. So we've got to really, as women, begin to talk more about, and again, family, we're not trying to tell anybody what to do. But our focus is to make sure that there's information, and then, you know, folks will have to take on the responsibility to do or not do whatever, but they won't say that black women didn't say it and put it in a venue and then use for our women and girls to learn and to know. They're not going to hold us accountable or responsible for not doing our jobs now. And lastly, and we'll come back. This is so. Lastly, I got to say this because this is also one of the discussions for the forums. We now have more people with doctorate degrees, master's degrees, bachelor's degrees, all kinds of certification. But yet, as Sister Crystal has said, and I certainly have said, we are sending our children to the enemy 5 days a week, 5 to 7 hours a day. Now, there's a quote, and Dr. Collier talked about Brother Malcolm, but one of Brother Malcolm's, there's a quote that he talked about. Who does that? I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but who would send your children to the enemy? So here we are 50 years later after being told certain things, and yet here we have more folks with doctorate degrees, more folks with master's, bachelor's, special ed, and all kinds of certification, but yet folks in our communities nationwide have put little to no effort to develop independent educational facilities. It doesn't have to be a school. One of my sisters here in Philly had school right in her house. It might only have been 10 students, 15 students, and so forth, but the point is the effort to educate our own children. So one of the things we're going to talk about at our upcoming convention is, sisters, if we are not even going to educate our own children, then folks need to shut up about what's going on with our children. If we're not even going to put forth the effort to collectively put in place what we need to do to make sure that the information, the edification of our children is our responsibility. And all this stuff about, yeah, we know folks got to go to work and all that. That's why we said collectively. And we're going to present a program and a plan of action that will exemplify that. So I'm going to hold on that point for now. I'm going to go back to Sister Crystal and family. We're going to give you the opportunity also to join in on this conversation. After we hear a few more words from Sister Crystal, we're going to ask you all, where's our brothers at? All over the country, the increase of black women and girls missing, kidnapped, raped, murdered, molested. And so why has that increased almost 100 times? And we're going to give you some stats and very soon, because maybe that's it. Maybe that's why most people don't care, Sister Crystal. Maybe they got to see the stats. You think that'll help?
Well, honestly, you know, a lot of things that we are able to come across and get fact-finding from has been largely due to social media and a lot of these independent groups that are doing the research and are looking at what's going on, and community organizations that are out that don't maybe necessarily get the attention that is needed, because we have a mainstream media source. Really, we're just talking about really five channels. And these five channels or six channels are being ran by the same companies that have a monopoly on information. And so we have to use alternate ways of getting information out. And we're going to have to create independent things of our own, plain and simple. Integration, you know, it was a trick, period. When our people were fighting for equality, equal access, and some scheme came about where integration was pushed apart. And this has been a socioeconomic project that has failed miserably. And we must be honest about this. We wanted our human rights to stop being violated, to stop being lynched. When black people had our own communities, our own economic centers, again, acts of war, they were bombed via Tulsa. And then the other cities was systematically had highways ran through the black economic zones. Some cities were even flooded with water. These are acts of war that have continued from the 20s on until today. Then you start getting neighborhoods that are finally, even, you know, when some property owners in the 50s and 60s were able to break the housing discrimination and buy and purchase homes, and then 30 years later the homes are paid for, then comes gentrification. What is that? This is still economic and social engineering, to where these Euros most of the time will come in, they might send someone in blackface, and they'll come and buy. So what I'm saying is, say your parents or someone or grandparents bought a property, and the way the mortgages are set up, a 30-year note, it might have been, they might have bought it for $10,000 in the 1950s. And now in the 2020, it's now worth $300,000 because every year I watched, I'm in business, in real estate, in insurance. When I first got in real estate in 96, I watched every year the prices go up $10,000 a year. It's not like the house got any bigger or anything. It's social economic engineering.
That's right.
These are acts of war. But so the taxes are going up, and your house might be paid for, but the taxes are going up to be more than the house note was. When somebody, if all the houses, I'm just giving a round example just to make the numbers even. If all the houses on one neighborhood were $100,000 and somebody comes in and builds a $500,000 house and two more, three properties will change the whole market, even though it might have been 200 houses. And everybody's like, oh, great, the property value is going up. But what we did not realize is that this was a scheme to increase the taxes. And they keep doing it year after year after year. And you might own grandma's home, paid for. Grandma and mama might have worked two generations to pay it off. Become the third generation, the taxes are coming in. You get behind on the taxes, and they come and take the property. This is madness. We have to come up with all kind of, we need to come up with policies to stop the attacks in our community, to outlaw the tax levies on these properties, where they can come and take a property that should have been yours because the wealth, most wealth is retained through real estate. This is why we say free the land. The earth is not going anywhere. It's not going to expand. And I want to, and how does this tie in? Let's tie this in to Dr. Collins' birthday. To the death day of the transitioning of Baba Sekou Ndinga, who, by the way, was one of the freedom fighters that helped to liberate Asada Shakur from the concentration camp, so-called prisons, where she was illegally detained and tortured and is now in a political exile. The Black Liberation Army, the Black Panther Party, the new Black Panther Party. Let's talk about the Black Panther Party and what this meant and what type of men and women these were. I am in the organization, and I've been in a movement that has been black men and black women teaching and building and helping to guide myself and the other comrades. And there has been brothers and sisters that have tried to, who knowingly and unknowingly, have tried to put men against women and women against men. And guess what? We are all we got. There's only two type of people on the planet, male and female. Why would we be arguing amongst each other? Why would the men be exploiting the women? And why would the women allow or continue to feel subjugated and exploited? We have to change the paradigm shift. Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, I never met him in person. However, I was in the mosque in the Nation of Islam when he was our supreme captain. As a matter of fact, what brought me in, one of the things that brought me into the nation, I was seeing the different brothers and sisters. I saw different people on the campus. So I watched a speech on Malcolm X that woke me up, or started waking me up, I should say. And I wanted to find out where Malcolm got that knowledge. And I was like, oh, that's some brothers that be on the corner selling them papers. Good-looking brothers. I'm like, okay, you couldn't help but give them a dollar and get the paper because the way they presented themselves.
That's right.
So I started going to the mosque, but I was already activist over with the Black United Front trying to fight injustice. I went to all kinds of schools, beauty school. I was once a person didn't have knowledge itself. I was perming my hair. I thought I had the flies hairdos. You couldn't tell me nothing until I came into reality, until I came into knowledge itself. It had to be somebody to show me the way. It had to be somebody like what you're doing now. I had to hear a tape, see a tape. We living in a natural world. I had to hear a lecture like from Dr. Collins, hear him on the Ice Cube tape. I'm like, oh, that's that man. It was like putting two and two together. Oh, that's the man I saw. Oh, he go to the same place where I saw the Malcolm X. It was like everything was coming together. That's why we have to hit information on all airways. We got to put information on all fronts. We are at war. Period. It might be downtime, so-called, but it's still a constant bombardment. Our enemy never sleeps. Our enemy never rests. They putting poison in the food.
Yep.
Poison in the airway, in the air. Chemtrails everywhere. But what I want to say, sister, is that I believe that black people need to stop sitting around waiting to hear somebody give you a good speech and get on the ground. Do the work. You see what's going on in our community. You see the homelessness. You see boys walking around in high heels.
Mm.
It has to be brought to an end. You see sisters walking around sagging like they dudes.
Mm.
It has to come to an end. We need to highlight and expose the pedophiles in our communities, not sweep them under the rug like Uncle Johnny. Y'all know, don't go by Uncle Johnny, the dirty little secret. We have to talk about, we have to speak truth to power. We have to call these crackers out on all the wickedness that they're doing. We'll continue in the work of Dr. Collins. Too many people want to ride on the energy of someone who's transitioning because you can't be held accountable.
Mm.
You got people doing the same work right now today. The new Black Panther Party, we go on demonstrations. It ain't been a major demonstration in this nation yet that we haven't been at the head of, and many that you never hear of because they write it out, white ballers in the media. It's work going on. And we doing it with no financial support for the majority of the time. We come out of our own pocket, the few of us. Let's keep it real. And and you know, we have people such as yourself and other independent media and other, and you're more than the media. We know that because you're an activist and an organizer and a revolutionary and a freedom fighter. And that's the way the movement seems to be. We have to make the moves, then document the moves, then come report the moves. But that's the task that we've been given. But we must duplicate ourselves. We must raise more Dr. Collins. And I say there are many around. I have to be in the benefit of being around some of the most powerful comrades that can articulate so well, that are brainstorming. I'm talking about brothers and sisters. And this has been the case since I've been in the movement, I must say. And we, you know, it's like everybody's looking for a messiah, when all you got to do is go look in the mirror and be the messiah. Be the Dr. Khaled. And Dr. Khaled, it could be Dr. Khadijah. It doesn't have to be a brother. It's sisters and brothers. We are so gorgeous on the outside. We just got to fill in the right spirit and knowledge on the inside and articulate and upraise one another. We can't turn the other cheek when we see our brothers and sisters doing foul stuff. These young brothers that everybody turn their nose up of, that they call gangs, we call street tribes, those are warrior soldiers that we need to approach and not be afraid of. When they're doing wrong, they need to be guided back to the right track. The young sisters that sit here, you know, sister, you don't need to put no lace front on. You look so pretty without the lace front. You don't need to add no eyelashes. You already got eyelashes. This is chemical warfare. We have to tell them and not be afraid to tell them if we love them. If you see your loved ones getting ready to run into a building that's about to blow up and you don't tell them, they have blood on their hands. And that's the same thing when you're going into these beauty supply places and they're giving you products that are destroying you. I have a sister in our community by the name of Alika Hillman, and she wrote a book called Chemical Suicide. Chemical Suicide. She was getting ready to sign up. She was signed with Suave House Records back in the early 2000s, and she suffered from a stroke, multiple strokes, and didn't know why. And the doctor had told her to stop perming her hair and stop putting hair color on her head. She had a brain and a stroke, multiple strokes, and it's the chemicals. I have to add that, remember, and this is a fact, look it up. Back in the day when everybody was wearing natural hair and afros, do y'all not know it was the Army Corps of Engineers that paid the brother to come up with the Jerry Curl? This is a fact. To come up with the Jerry Curl. And the Jerry Curl killed the afro. This is a fact. It's funny, but it's true. It was a brother that was commissioned to come up with the Jerry Curl. I think it was like the California Curl, but it was through the military.
Right.
He was a barber in the military. So these, and who are these companies? They don't care about you. They want us, they put out these late front rigs that have you looking like some European. And then the Europeans go in and put an extensions in their head to get their hair thick like us. Everybody that's not black is going and getting, taking the fat out their buttocks and having a doctor stick it in their lips to have big lips. They go and get tanned. They wear all kind of things to look like us. Everybody wants to be have the beauty and the natural traits of the black woman besides the black woman. And I'm saying it ties back into the school, and I'm just going to say it. You can take a let alone. There's a lot of people don't like me already. You got to take down that white Jesus. That white Jesus that says he's the God son, so automatically to you, God is white. So if God is white, then who is the devil? I guess it must be a black man. It must be black people. This is a psychological warfare. It's what you subject your children to. The 6 out of 7 days out of the week, you subjected to black inferiority complex. I've been to all kinds of schools, beauty school, college, community college, trade schools, and all of them teach white supremacy. No matter what the subject matter is, they're going to tell you this theory came from such and such, and this story came from such and such, and they might slide in February, somebody black, maybe. Even geography. I was like, surely they can't make geography racist. Yes, they did. When they talked about all these other continents, it was all the resources that they had and all the natural resources in their culture. And when they started talking about the continent of Africa, they started talking about disease and pestilence. At the community college, when they started talking about math, surely you can't make math racist. Yes, they can. They start talking about Pythagorean theorem. Knowing in our actuality, all of these sciences, everything came from black people. We invented the sciences, every last one of them. And these plagiarizing bootleg devils, a bad carbon copy, the most degenerate part of the people. Look at how wicked these people are. They are, you know what, sister? When you called me yesterday, I wanted to thank you for reminding me to go watch this ICJ hearing about what's going on in Israel.
Yes.
Oh my God!
Yes.
To hear Netanyahu tell them to totally annihilate these people, to wipe them off the planet. This is the same people that we're dealing with, brothers and sisters. They don't just blatantly, openly say it like Netanyahu. They just doing it. It's the same genocide and ethnic cleansing by the state. It's black people that are getting targeted and murdered by the police. Thousands a day. We just, all of these cases just don't make social media. It is a state that hires the police, the city. These are military operations. They're predators in our neighborhoods. They're not here protecting. Remember the 13th Amendment said you can't be a slave unless you commit a crime. They are out prowling to catch criminals to be slaves. And I said you turn your children over to the plantation, to the for the food system, because you know why? Because you are volunteering on some corporate plantation to go pick cotton. It might be not necessarily picking cotton and a slave like swing low, sweet chariot. But it's the same thing when you're sitting there listening to the little soft rock while you're on a computer keyboard. Or you're out driving for Amazon. You're not producing for yourself. Birds don't work for nobody else. The animal kingdom don't work for anyone else. We can work for our own selves, create our own businesses. We've done it. We've done it before. It was by social engineering that our black communities were destroyed from its own economic base. And we can change it. We have to be truthful about what's going on. It's not working. The social experiment has failed. These devils don't even have jobs for their own children. What do you think this whole 1% uprising was about? Because Bobby and Billy went to college and got a degree and went out and found out that their degree wasn't worth but a piece of paper. And they're like, oh, F dad, forget this system. Seriously, we have to, and I would never in any shape, form, or fashion want anyone to forget how powerful every last lecture Dr. Collett laid out. Go and listen. But I'm just going to say, you know why there ain't no more Dr. Collett? Because the Most High broke the mold. That's one. There ain't going to never be another one. But we have to be our own high leaders and high freedom fighters in our own right. There'll never be another Malcolm. There'll never be another Harriet. There'll never be an Ida B. But there's an Empress Chi. There's a Sister Crystal. There's a Dr. Ali. There's an Imam Akbar. There's a Sister Queen. You know what I'm saying? We need to look in the mirror. We sitting there waiting on white Jesus come out the sky. Y'all waiting on Dr. Collins to come back? What are we waiting on? The mothership? We need to look in the mirror and take responsibility. And each of us own up to the work that we can do in the lane that you're in. You don't even have to go out of the lane that you naturally are in. You can be that one that's helped to uplift your brothers and sisters, even if you do it one by one. Just imagine. Just think about this. It's not difficult. What if you, each of us, say, you know what? I'm going to make sure that I got one person a year, and help uplift them. Just one. What if you do that over 5 years? That's five people. So, you know, this convention that you have coming up for the women, I'm in any capacity that you need me to present, I will be there. Just this 2 weekends ago, the end of the year, we had a national convention for the Provisional Government of Republic of New Africa. Unfortunately, you know, we came on your show and we told you about the previous government administration of the Provisional Government that issued some very Negro tail pro type of directives towards myself and the different comrades of the movement. And the people, the New African people, came together and held a convention. And those who were responsible for those heinous crimes against the New African nation were found to be guilty and were impeached and recalled. And what was put in place, we now have an interim government in which I was nominated and elected as the interim president of the Republic of New Africa until we have our special elections in March, which will take place March 15th through the 17th in mostly every major city where we have a new African population. So we would love to come back. We have over 17 district reps in which representatives were put in place, and that would be the equivalent of a Congress representative that we have for almost every major city. We have a special people's court that was established, as well as a national election commission. So my vice president that were also elected up under me would be Dr. Ali Muhammad and Brother Yang Nkrumah. And we have a gang of representatives in our ministries. And we are also working with Brother Sipaway as our Minister of Foreign Affairs to help us make our connections into international arena. And you did such a beautiful piece at our convention. We want to thank you for that work and your continued work and for being a solid all-around queen, empress, revolutionary, and comrade. Thank you, Queen. I hope I answered your question. I mean, we could go all night talking about Doc, but I just want everybody to pick up their own responsibility.
Let's get some of the family. Let's get some of the family in because they've been waiting to come in and chime in and share. And,
Yes, ma'am.
So let's do that, family. If you have a comment, a thought, or whatever about Dr. Khalid or in response to anything Sister Crystal has shared, you can press 1 now. And we're going to go to caller at 9324. 9324, your mic is open. Welcome to this segment, A New Day.
Hotep, New World here.
All right, Brother New World.
Can you hear me clearly?
Yep, I hear you.
Okay, sounds like a bet. Just wanted to say Hotep to the family. I definitely want to give honor and respect to Dr. King, Dr. Khalid, and offer my condolences to our family for the transition of Brother Odinga. Do you all realize we don't get a chance to mourn? It's too much, too fast, too soon, too often. But anyway, what I wanted to mention was several things because I've been on since pretty much the beginning of the podcast tonight. Sister Crystal, you are definitely on point. I'd like to clone you, Empress, and a few others. This is what's got to happen. Let me just stick with what I was saying. I have personally, I'm a veteran, a United States honorable veteran, who's getting treated less than, or let's put it this way, immigrants get treated better than we do. But anyway, due to my military service, I have personally witnessed this country create poverty around the world in every place where people who possess melanin attempt to live in peace.
Mm-hmm.
This is a norm. This is why we must wake up. It is imperative that we master the art of networking. I'm so happy to hear you two sisters talking about unifying and moving forward progressively. And I would dare to hope consistently, okay, this every now and then thing can't work for us, okay? I have a thing I tell the young people that I work with. The greatest thing we have is our relationships. You master that, and you don't just honor God, you become God in the greatest way possible. It's impossible to say you love yourself and don't love your brothers and sisters. Learn to love and utilize your family, okay? Our differences are our advantages, which is why we must open our eyes, minds, and hearts so as to truly honor the contributions and sacrifices of the ancestors we claim to love and respect. As I tell people every day, I show my respect or my love or my commitment to the Creator by how I live my life every day. This is not a part-time thing, and we are at war. For those who don't understand it, we are at war. We have been slated for genocide the whole time, long before you got here. Some of you all just got the memo, thank God, stay woke.
Give thanks.
Yeah, know this.
All right, my brother.
Told us that we didn't pay no attention, but bullies don't stop. They must be stopped. Okay.
I say. All right, now we're going to move on to some other folks. We want to give folks the opportunity to chime in.
One more minute. Can I take one more minute?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay, all right. I said, we have allowed them to convince the children of the Most High to submit to the will of the open enemies of the Creator, of righteousness and our divine purpose. Please wake up, family. It's our time. This is literally do or die. Last statement. We don't now and have never needed integration. For our liberation, we need separation. Stay strong, African family. Much love. Oh, Captain, please don't forget Brendan Depper. I need help getting there to help that child. The end of this month. Stay strong. Much love. I'm still here. Get here the whole broadcast. Hotep.
All right, Hotep. Thank you, my brother. New World Warrior in the house. All right. Okay, let's go to, caller. You are at 7628. 7628, your mic is open for this segment of New Day. Oops, hold on a minute. Let me try that again. 7628. Hold on. There you go.
Yes, this is Baba Yao, African Cuban plumber.
Hey, Baba Yao.
I just chimed in at the right time in the right place. Yeah, I totally agree with Brother New World. I need the information to join the new provisional government of Republic of New Africa. And keep up the good work. That's all. Chime out.
All right. Thank you, Baba. All right, family. So listen, this is, you know, what we want to say very clearly to everyone. You've heard Sister Crystal. And, of course, there are a few, you know, groups, organizations, and I hate to say it, a few, but I can only say there's a few. I mean, there's thousands of groups and organizations in the U.S., needless to say. But, unfortunately, when we talk about the issues or the concept or ideas of self-determination and things of that nature, that's when it gets a little murky. Because, unfortunately, most of what we're seeing today are people who strive to either obtain or interact in 501s. And I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just saying there definitely needs to be other components that people strive to do, and that's becoming less and less as the years go by. Again, brothers and sisters who used to talk about black power or used to talk about self-determination now have opted to do other things that helps the system to continue. What we call the system, I call it of off-white supremacy. Nowadays, a lot of our brothers and sisters, and yep, I'm from Philly, so I can tell you, as they say, where the bodies are buried. I know exactly who has done what to a great extent and have every intention of exposing it, which is why I'm not a very popular person, which is fine because, you know, I'm like Janet Jackson when it comes to that. What have you done for me lately? or any of our people, really, when it comes to liberation and justice. So, again, we strongly suggest, and, of course, Baba Kwame Ture and others, even Dr. Khaled, of course, have often said, join something. I mean, okay, it may not be revolutionary or progressive or whatever. We would hope you would now in this day and age lean more a little towards that. But if not, at least join something that is at least attempting to do a little something to help our people. We applaud those who provide food giveaways, that provide school supply giveaways, and what's the other thing they're doing now, Sister Crystal? I can't remember. There's another popular thing that's going on in communities nationwide. But we say, you know, we applaud that. We don't know where some of this food is really coming from, to be honest with you, and I can tell you firsthand, as Sister Keisha can tell you, right after COVID, I had the opportunity to get Sister Christian, when you hear this, we were at Malcolm X Park doing a Black Independent event. I think Baba Yaga might have been with us that day too. And it just so happened we saw this truck pull up, and they started pulling off these containers of food. This was white folks, but of course where we were is the black community. And I kind of looked at it, and I'm like, wow, I'm seeing this a lot throughout the city. So I went over and got me a box because my spirit just said, you needed to go check this out. And I did. I went and got me a box. So I came back and I opened the box, and it had like hot dogs, pork hot dogs, of course. It had some other kind of meat thing, too, that was, I think, pork. It had, it did have a couple of pieces of bags of produce. It had some like carrots and something else, but all the rest of that stuff was not good. Packaged stuff was not good at all, right? But then underneath the food that was in this box was a letter or a piece of paper, and it said something to the effect of, and I got to go back in my phone and pick, because I took a screenshot of it, a camera shot of it. It says something about welcoming from the White House. Right. Now, this is when Trump was still in. Right. And so clearly folks need to be asking, where's this food coming from? Because it's just real interesting that all of a sudden this became a real popular thing to start doing. When the Black Panther Party, original Black Panther Party, was doing it every day. And so a lot of people now do it, you know, once a month or every other week or whatever, but definitely not every day. And again, the question needs to be, where is this food coming from? So again, it's a good thing that folks are doing. We're glad to see folks doing it. But at this stage of the game and at this point in time, we need to be a little more critical about making sure that we are getting the kind of, you know, things that we really think we're getting. Okay, let's go back to the live line, and let's talk with caller. You are at 7090. Welcome to this segment, A New Day.
Good day, peace, love, and light. Nikki on the line.
Hey, sister. How's my sister today, to this evening, rather?
All right. I was enjoying Sister Crystal speaking her piece. I'm remembering Dr. Khalid, and when they had the time that I came in would be when they murdered an 8-year-old, the drunk rabbi, ran over Calvin Cato in Crown Heights. And, you know, people would be coming out their houses to go to work after the so-called riots, you know. And to guns in their face, you know. well, more or less, I know that the Book of Khalid came out, and it is very detailed, you know, a lot of beautiful detail, you know. And more or less, I marched, you know, and there was not, I believe that was the weekend they arrested Khalid, right? So I was out there with Brother Shabazz. He could, you know, speak on it. to refresh his memory, the pregnant lady and the different things that was going on. They did the million children march after, you know, and I hear people on both sides speak about, you know, how the helicopters had come so low and they were offended because he left. I was right there by the stage, and I recall him. He said, you know, he had gotten word that they were on the rooftops and so forth, and he more or less was like, you know, we're not going to do no what they call later, hands up, don't shoot. He said, grab what you can and defend yourself, because if they're going to harm, damage, or hurt you, you may as well fight. My child was months old in a stroller. You know, I didn't have a problem with what he was saying. He was right. You know, the fact that they would bring a helicopter within distance so that you couldn't hear what was being said on the stage at one point. Now, if the permit was to be, the permit was until 4 o'clock. When that helicopter came down on the people, it was before, I think, quarter to four. So there was no reason for what they were doing, you know. And understanding that, I'm glad United African Movement had provided these opportunities to always be there. So when I hear some of these things that's going on and people get very upset when I say, he always kept us on the front burner. It was also Leola Maddox's birthday. And I say, you know, where were the Afro people of Israel? Where, you know, right now, presently, we have 12.9 million Congolese that are dead. Afro
right.
people. Mm-hmm. We have Somalia. We have millions that are dead. We have Sudan. And Jim Crow Joe sent troops back into Somalia. You know, mm-hmm. so in the midst of them trying to misdirect us and, as she said, chemical warfare and so forth, they are murdering our children and our women in childbirth and so forth. This is nothing new. Gates says that he wants to reduce the population by 3 billion. So, and we're going to start with Africans and so forth. Some people say, oh, that ain't got nothing to do with us. But why are they in the Congo? The nuclear weapons parts come from the Congo. So it is all of us that are under attack. You know, the African Holocaust. You know, a gentleman came over to me while I was with some folks from the Black Panther Party, and that's what he asked. He asked me that in Harlem. And I said, what Holocaust are you speaking of? Which one? The African Holocaust? 1, 2, 3? Which one are you speaking of? You know, you don't need to invite me, because if you don't want to hear the truth, you don't want to hear from me. So it's okay. Sometimes it's good not to have people follow you, because what's following you might be trying to kill you. I'm good.
No, that's right.
So I have to give my utmost respect to the unity, the Umoja, and I have to give my utmost respect to Sekou Odinga as well.
Yes.
You know, he came out and he was still lecturing. He lectured at Mega Evers College. He still was fighting for his fellow brother and citizen educating the people, you know. And I'm glad that, you know, sometimes we hear, oh, this person needs money, this person needs this. And some of our people, they don't realize, you know, when you're dealing with grassroots people and so forth, sometimes they don't have. So to be able to give, you should give. You know, it should not be a problem. You give what you can. Give a little to somebody and everybody if you can. Because, you know, you get
You feel the rewards when you see your fellow comrades coming home, the Africas and so forth. And that we as a people must always ride for our own. We have to do Garveyism or we're all gone.
All
they
right.
they make money off of the divide and conquer. And I'm going to leave it at that. Peace and love, and long live Khalid and Sekou Odinga,
yes.
Miss Maddox,
yes.
because they are all riding. peace and love.
To you. All right, family. So with that said, of course, you know, we oftentimes talk about what it is we need to do, what it is we should do, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of times we do not talk about what it is we're going to do. What are the plans of action? Well, MWM Universal, we have one, and we're hoping that in the near future we can get the kind of support that we really deserve and should have been had. But, you know, we know how this stuff goes. But we're bringing forward things now. Okay, I'm not sure. Is that you? Somebody's got something going on in the background. Okay. Okay. You know, again, family, we're going to get ready to close this session out. Again, we want to remind everyone that we are commemorating, of course, the Earth Day, which was yesterday, of our shining black general, Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, and, of course, the ancestral commemoration, celebration, rising, presente of our warrior brother, Baba, ancestor now, Sekou Odinga. You know, again, it behooves us to know our history to a greater extent and then to put it in practice. What work are we doing that represents Dr. Khalid or Brother Malcolm or others that we've talked about? What actual work are we actually doing or supporting that represents our ancestors? So these are questions we have to begin to ask ourselves and others. We have to begin to ask people who say they black or about being black or whatever, we got to ask some questions now in terms of what does that mean in real time? What does that represent for you? Because somehow this thing has gotten a bit confusing, one thing, but there's something else going on. So at this upcoming session that you heard me speak about, we're going to really, sisters are going to come together and we're going to create our codes of conduct as black women. What is it that we should be striving to do, embracing, you know, organizing for? We are going to make those kind of determinations at this upcoming session. So we encourage all who are interested in participating. Again, this is for our women, the main session. However, there will be some community sessions that will be for all of our people. Because that's what we do. We make sure that we include all of our people. But there are sessions that will be specifically for our women. Tomorrow's call, we were going to give you more information about the upcoming convention as well as the Million Woman World March, which is coming. For those haters, guess what? Y'all going to have something really to hate now, for real, when we really show you what we really are going to now bring forward. Y'all thought it was going to be last year. Well, no, wasn't. But at any rate, tomorrow's call is canceled for our Zoom meeting because a lot of our folks will be going to New York, Baba Sekou Odinga's Jananza, and going home services it starts in the morning at 8 o'clock. But, you know, people will be in New York. There is a, you know, he's going to be buried, interestingly enough, where Dr. Khalid is buried, and Brother Malcolm, and Paul Robeson, by the way. Baba Odinga, Sekou Odinga will be, you know, taken to that particular location as well. And again, if you want more information, if you don't have it, you can certainly email us at nationalmwaol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. My sister PM Africa, of course, made sure that we had all the specifics. I was planning to go as well, but something has come up. So we'll get a report, of course, to bring to you for next week's program. Again, tomorrow's Zoom meeting is canceled until Monday, so you will get an update on that because, again, folks will be, you know, in transit or, you know, doing various things tomorrow as a result of, you know, commemorating or going to New York for the Jenazah. All right, family, we're going to close this session out. We're going to go back to Sister Crystal and get some closing comments. And we also want to do a little sidebar for a point of clarity. When we talk about the New Black Panther Party, it is very important that you do know that there are several or a few, shall we say, formations. And I have to be very specific because I cannot allow confusion of any form. I am in alliance with Sister Crystal Muhammad and Brother Akbar. I am in alliance with that leadership, that directorship, et cetera. And that's the only entities that I am affiliated with or associated with. So if there's any, any other thought that somebody might have, you should be clear about what I just said. And if you're not, you can always contact me and I will make it clearer for you. There are reasons for that we will go into at another time, but, you know, we want to stay in a celebratory kind of format tonight in commemoration and in honoring of our ancestors, and so we'll, you know, stay in that mode for now. But certainly in the future, Sister Nikki did mention a book, but certainly in the future we will talk more about some other things that has been talked about, but unfortunately still needs to be conveyed because people who come in at a later date may not have the clarity that they need. So we need to make sure that people are not hoodwinked or confused when it comes to, you know, who they are involved with and so forth and so on. At any rate, let's go back to Sister Crystal, and let's get her closing comments. And we're out for tonight, family. But, you know, again, you definitely know we keep it moving, and we will continue to grow and develop. We appreciate all of you, needless to say. And I also want to remind you that on January 23rd, we will be doing a special edition of our program. It is Paul Robeson. It is Paul Robeson's transition, and we will do a special symposium, We Charge Genocide. So let's go back to Sister Crystal and get her closing comments, and then we're going to hear our final words is going to come from Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Sister Crystal?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, and much love and respect to all of your guests who called in. We really appreciate the support and the love and the revolutionary energy and spirit that they spoke over these airwaves. And to everyone that's listening all over the globe, this broadcast is definitely an international broadcast. Let's not forget it. And our sister, Empress Chi, has not only been a staunch ally, but she has also been, to me, a good advisor. We take for granted the people that we have around us, and we shouldn't. I never, as I mentioned before, got to meet Dr. Khalid, but I was in the Nation of Islam. He, when I first started, he was our supreme captain. And then when he, you know, was having his situation where he was, I would say, I'm going to use the term evolving out of the nation, just like Malcolm did, and I would say to some extent I did. Sometimes you grow out of a situation and it's time for you to take another path. I'm going to put it in that manner. And when Dr. Khalid was, you know, having his situation and was no longer in the mosque, I remember he came and spoke at University of Houston, which, by the way, I reside in Houston, Texas, where Dr. Khalid was born at, in Fifth Ward. Even though I was born in New Orleans, I go back and forth between both cities. But nevertheless, when he came and spoke after he was no longer active in the nation, and in fact, he had had an assassination attempt on his life, And he came and spoke at the University of Houston, him along with Dr. Ben. And we were told, you know, not to go, but I was like, I'm going. And me and some other brothers and sisters went to hear him speak. And he talked about the fact that he was building with some brothers in Dallas for the Black Panther Party, the new Black Panther Party. And I was like, wow, really? It's a Black Panther Party in Dallas, you know? And then, you know, being an activist myself at the time, I was around 93 up until 2000. I was a part of the death penalty abolition movement, you know, and so we were looking, and still I believe that the death penalty is an extenuation of lynching, that it is a inhumane, cruel, and act of war, and is only utilized on mostly Black and definitely poor people. But there was a brother that was we were fighting to stop from being executed by the name of Shaka Sankofa. And on his execution date in June 22nd, 2000, it was the first time I actually saw the Black Panthers, the new Black Panther Party, that is. We were out there, you know, as young student organizers. But I didn't get to meet Dr. Collett. He moved from the nation to becoming the chair of the new Black Panther Party. It wasn't until 2002 that I actually saw the members of the new Black Panther Party at the Shrine of the Black Madonna in Houston, when there was a reparations in Daba that Dr. Amari Obadeli was one of the organizers. And Dr. Amari Obadeli, who was a former president of the Provisional Government of the Republic of North Africa, but also one of the founders of NCOBRA, was also a mentor of mine. And so that's when in 2002, there was a big gathering called the Indaba, which means the big sit-down for reparations. Mm-hmm. And that's when I ran into the party. But Dr. Collett had already transitioned. But mm-hmm. I can, you know, I always honored and followed him. And I'd have never guessed or known in a million years that when we had our internal issues within the new Black Panther Party, that I would be nominated, then elected to be the chair of the Black Panther Party at the end of 2013. And I'm now holding that position. And in addition to that, at the end of 2023, I was nominated to president of the Republic of North Africa in honor of both those two great men, Dr. Collett and the Honorable Dr. Amara Obadeli. It is not only an honor to not only serve in the organization of the new Black Panther Party, but in the government of our provisional government, which has been declared an independent nation state territory, which represents Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina, and is an area that is 2 to 3 times the size of Israel. And this is part of not only our reparations, but our new African independence movement, and us separating and having our own nation. And the Nation of Islam has always talked about that, which Dr. Collett was definitely a minister of. And we are believing in the new Black Panther Party. You know, these are all stages, I would say, of revolutionaries, but also of freedom fighters. I want to end with this. You know, brothers and sisters, there's a call for more. Where are the Dr. Collett? You know, you are, I would repeat, you are the ones that we are looking for. This is going to be an us movement. Who is the leader of the white folks? Who is the leader of the Mexicans? We are the only people that are sitting around waiting on the leader. This is a system of global white supremacy we're fighting against. So we must come together and systemically build. That means everybody is on board with this. No matter what lane you're in, what our complete independence and self-determination. There's only so much time, but I thank you for this moment that we get to come on here. But if you want to be a part of what we're doing, the website for the I mean, there's no getting around it. We had to impeach and recall the previous administration who threatened to assassinate us for coming in and wanting to make our reality a reality. It's crazy. They wanted to sit around and study and we're out here in the battleground fighting. What was behind this? We can't prove it's COINTELPRO, but it was definitely NegroTelPRO. So we came up with a solution, which the Code of Emoji gave us, was to hold a people's convention. And therefore, we even have an official statement. I wish I had time to read that. But we do have an official statement in regards to this.
We'll definitely get you back so that we can talk specifically about that. And also, supporting existing Black independent governments, but also the development of new independent governments and nations. This is what we're looking at in terms of bringing forward the 21st century. And we make it very clear that this is MWM's position as a universal movement, that we are growing and developing, and we let people know when we came out that our intention is to build a nation. A movement first, and then a nation. And we're not, trying to rush into that or anything like that. And we make it very clear that those thought processes would not have even been in existence if it wasn't for those who came before us. Again, I'm from Philly.
Well, let me get my website.
Okay, go ahead.
The website where people can reach out to us and contact us at NBPP. Yes. .org, that's N as in new, B as in black, P as in Panther, P as in party, .org, NBPP.org, and you can find out more about everything we're working on. And thank you for having me on, Queen. Black Power.
Definitely Black Power and Maat Hotep. That's our greeting. We say Maat Hotep because, again, when we talk about people like our great warrior attorney, the great Alton Maddox, one of the main things that he used to always say is there's no justice, there's no peace. And so we strongly believe that until there is justice, we cannot be at peace. So we say Maat Hotep because justice will bring us peace. But Sister Crystal, again, I thank you for taking the time to share with us, to build with us, and to help us in this commemoration. We do it every year. We've been doing it every year, I believe since 2003 or 4, when we literally held a Black/African community inquest here in Philadelphia. And for those who talk about the document that referenced Dr. Khalid's death, many talk about that document and what it said in it. They never ask, how did that document come into the public view? And if they do take the time to find that out, guess who they're going to find and what they're going to find? It came from Philly. We held a community inquest here in Philly, sister, and at that point, we had our own security team on the roof, at the door, and all around the building, because during that time period, this was 2003, I think it was, there were three different groups who were, saying New Black Panther Party or, different formats. And it was really a problem with all three of them. And we had all three of them come to give their testimony about, what they knew in the terms of Dr. Khalid's death. And this is when we received the first public report about his death, that 23-page or however many page report that came from that inquest. It had never been seen before. So again, family, we will talk more about that at another time, because we really need to. And again, I want to thank Sister Crystal for sharing with us, and definitely all of you. Certainly, we hope that you will also support MWM. We are bringing forward the Million Woman World March. It is going to happen, and we are really glad to see who came up front to help and support, over the past months. And we now kind of know what we need to know about some things and about some people too, by the way. But at any rate, you can get more information. Again, our next meeting will take place on Monday. You can get more information by, again, emailing us at nationalmwm at AOL.com. Again, National MWM at AOL.com. We have a couple of Gmails now, too. Don't have it in front of me, but we do have that. We'll be making that available to you as well as our website. And by the way, Sister Crystal's going to be working on a new website for us also for the convention, so you can look forward to that coming very soon. And hey, family, get ready. If you are really serious, and we mean as in the S-I-R-I-U-S, then you come to the right place, because that's what we're talking about, the brilliancy of the blackness of the universe. With that said, we're going to close out with, when we talk about black, well, we have to make sure that we always hail up the Black Power General, Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. Until next time.
I was lazy, but I'll tell you what I did see. I was in Medina at Masjid al-Nabi, the Prophet's Mosque in Medina. I saw these men with their eyes back in their head. Their temples were recessed into their head, gaunt looking. Looking East African or looking Ethiopian or Somalian or Eritrean, which is all the same, until a white man started his game over there. They were rough on the women in the mosque. They were just grabbing women and throwing them all over the place. I didn't mind as long as they were throwing the white women. I wasn't like Malcolm. I didn't say nothing about that. But they put their hand on a sister, I grabbed the hand and check them. So I asked, who are these men? People say, you don't know who that is? It's a whole group of them. I said, no. Who are they? They said, those. They said, those are the eunuchs. My brain locked. I said, what are they, unique? What do they mean? I guess they are unique. They said, a eunuch. You know what a eunuch is? I said, yeah. They say, yeah, you know, they're reproductive, their regenerative organ, their sex organ was cut off by the white Arabs. I got furious. I said, what? They said they bring them over from Africa, and they cut their regenerative and reproductive organs off so that they can watch over their harem and watch over their many women, and they not have to worry about the African brother impregnating one of their women. I had nightmares, dreams about these brothers. For nights, they were very antisocial. They didn't want to deal with anyone. They stayed among themselves. They had this kind of resentment, as I said, for women and for anything outside of their immediate circle. I saw that to the degree that I could see it with my own eyes. But some of you, you know, you asked some crazy questions. I didn't see that far. No. Somebody will say, did you really see? That's a fool. And I know we got a question and answer period coming up, so I'm trying to discourage the fools before we even get started. If you're thinking about asking me that, don't ask me no damn silly question. And anyway, there was nothing to see. They had been castrated. Castrated. Now, that's going on today. So when there are rumors about slavery, because you're a Muslim, you might want hide and say, well, I don't think so, and that's wrong. And it might be wrong, and it might be coming through the wrong channels. But the enemy having another plan for putting it out there, exacerbating tensions and exaggerating stories. But I have reason to believe that it could be true, but I have no proof, and I must be honest, except proof of the eunuchs is proof enough for me. I was in the Sudan, and I was sitting with Brother Sadiq al-Mahdi with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We were at Sadiq al-Mahdi's home, and out of the clear black or blue, I asked one of my questions. The minister looked at me. I said, Brother Sadiq, do our people here in the Sudan, consider themselves Muslim or a non, I didn't say that. Do they consider themselves Arab or African? He never hesitated. He's Arab. But he's in the Sudan. He said, we are Arabs. Anyone who speaks the Arabic language is an Arab. I said, brother, that sounds, the minister looked at me. But he didn't stop me, though. He let me go. I said, that sounds like Arab imperialism to me. You mean you're an African and you deny your Africanism? To say that you're an Arab, I could have understood a little bit. If I said we are Muslim, then he would have been dealing with something in a religious or a spiritual realm. But he said we are Arab. And I hear many arrogant Arabs say, oh, assalamu alaikum, alhamdulillah. We are so happy that you have accepted our religion, Islam. Say it's not your religion. All that I'm covering now deals with Malcolm's dream of human rights. You can't get human rights legislated from The Hague in Netherlands. You can't get human rights legislated from any white European body on the face of the planet Earth. You can't take your case to a world court. Malcolm, we love you for all that you have done, but 30 years later, we must make a careful, critical, and correct analysis. You can't take your case before the United Nations. Rockefeller paid for a greater portion of the very ground that the United Nations is sitting on. All of the African nations and Asian nations can vote together in a solid block. And one cracker, one stinking cracker can walk to the podium, may not even walk to the podium, hit a button or hit a lever at the desk and veto. One cracker can veto all of the votes put together. Am I lying? How many know what I'm talking about? Let me see your hands. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just keep your damn hands up. Some of you won't raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. Hell, you know some of the ones that didn't raise their hand know I'm telling the truth. But you want to keep the lie out there. So some don't want to give this white man up. Human rights. You are the human. You are the human. He is not a human. You are the human. You naturally have the moral and spiritual and ethical nature. I'll do that in part two after the break. I'll lay this out and I'll cut it after the break. I've been, and we'll get back to Malcolm in a minute. I've been to Muslim countries. I've been to Christian countries. I've been to capitalist countries. I've been to socialist countries. I've been to communist countries. I've been to so-called Jew countries. And no matter what the social, political, economic, academic system is, wherever the black-white dynamic existed, I found the white on top and the black on the bottom. If it was based on race, I saw the white race on top, black race on the bottom. If it was based on class, I saw upper class and black people in the lower class. Going to it a little deeper when we get back. We'll go back into Islam. Islam cannot change the white man. Stop telling that lie. Nothing can change the white man. The white man is coded that way. You want to believe with this human rights and civil talk, you want to believe that there are good white folks and bad white folks. There's just two kinds of white folks, bad white folks and worse white folks. That's all it is. I know some of you with all of your African adornment. Got a white girlfriend. Got a white boyfriend. Yeah, raise your hand. We can look at you and see Susie in your eyes. You know, so easy, sister. We can see Bob. We see Bill. We see Larry in your eyes. Merv. Doug. Bud. Some of you got these crackers walking around with dreadlocks. That's one of the most dreadful things that you could ever see. There's a cracker with these phony, funny-looking dreadlocks. Brothers and sisters, humanism. If we look at it, you're the human being. You're the human being. You gave morality to the world. You gave ethics to the world. You gave spirituality, the notion even. Either they haven't accepted it or nature won't allow them to receive it. You gave the notion of spirituality to the world. You gave religion to the world. You did. Before you, there were none. After you, there'll be no more. If you find a thing doing the same thing in every time zone, on every landmass, throughout the annals of time, you find it doing the same thing, then that should let you know that it cannot change. It's coded that way. It can't change. The white man can't change. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said separation is the best and only solution. Look at him. I'm quoting him perfectly now. Come right on up, brother and sister. That seat right here. He says separation is the best and only solution. Let's stop right there. If he said it was just the best solution, then you could say, well, there are some other solutions. Huh? But he said it's the best and only solution to the problem, the race problem that exists between black and white. Separation is the only solution. You praise the white man, some of us, not me. You praise him for his Declaration of Independence. You praise him for separating from the British Empire. The Declaration of Independence was an act of separation. 13 little scrawny colonies separated from the British Empire. Is that right? Paul Revere, huh? George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams. These faggots with pedal pushers and ruffles on their shirts and wigs on their heads. And the Minutemen, I'm not going to get into that. That's between them and their wives. I ain't got nothing to do with that. I don't know why their wives call them the Minutemen. This is such a serious subject, brothers and sisters. We have to lighten it up with a little humor every now and then. You give me the signal, brother, when would you like to have that break? Would you like to have it right now? How many would like to take the break now? How long should the break be? 15 or 20 minutes. And during that 15 or 20 minutes, what's the procedure? How do we... All right. Brothers and sisters, let us now take a break, and we'll be black in a minute.
All